Welcome to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about building businesses, we talk about building lives. Because the truth is, success can be deceptive. From the outside, everything can look incredible: the revenue, the clients, the growth, accomplishments, the accolades. And meanwhile, the person building it is exhausted, running on fumes, drowning in complexity, living in reaction instead of intention. A lot of people don't need a better strategy. They need a better relationship with what they're working on. God did not call you to create success that's going to cost you your soul. He called you to steward your gifts well. So today we're going to talk about burnout, business, leadership, alignment, purpose, and what happens when you stop building from urgency and start building from clarity. Today's guest is Dylan Bost. He's the founder of Sunny HQ, former agency owner, systems thinker, and someone who spent years helping people remove that complexity so that they can focus on the stuff that actually matters. So, Dylan, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat. I'm excited for the conversation. Let's just go straight back to the moment when your successful agency stopped feeling successful to you. What's happening that nobody else could see?
I think, I can only say this from remembrance, right? I mean, at the time I had no idea. And that's kind of the confusing part, but now what I know, it was just a misalignment. And you described it, everything looked great on paper, from the outside. And even from my own perspective, that's the weird thing, right? I was starting to feel something from the inside that didn't match the outside. And that misalignment is what kind of drove everything in the wrong direction. But the frame of it was, had a small design agency, about 25 people, lots of customers, all the awards, driving the Range Rover, had two houses, all the things, three kids on top of that, a beautiful wife. And yet, that question came up, why am I actually doing this? Like, what is the value of what I'm doing? Projecting forward a little bit became even scarier. We cared deeply about the work that we did, but yet I asked myself, who's going to care about this output, these logos or this ad campaign or this website or, these beautiful creative things? I said, in 10 years, no one will care. And that was kind of hard to grasp. It was the first time in business that I'd asked myself kind of these more long-term questions.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where it starts when we start asking those questions.
Yeah, for
But
sure.
this is such a common, if I'm being honest, Dylan, this is such a common situation on this show. I have so many entrepreneurs that come through here that have built those businesses and they actually resent them. Why do you think that is such a common thing?
Yeah, I think that it goes back to, and we'll probably get to the book I've written, but I think that it's less about trying to. So we're taught to strive, we're taught to succeed. What does that look like? More stuff, right? We're taught to buy the things, do the things, and even from an early age, we are naturally conditioned. It's not a bad thing. It just, we take on the roles that our parents or aunts and uncles or the people, the mentors that we see, we're like, that looks kind of fun. I want to do that. And we're not really ever taught, or at least I wasn't, and none of the people I've had access to are taught to ask themselves the question, like, what, investigate what brings you joy. Investigate, what does happiness look like in your life? What are you doing? And so I think we really quickly tend to latch on to these things. For me, early on, I wanted to be a marine biologist. And then I found out, well, there's probably no money in that. I liked money. And so I went a different route, but it was definitely in the vein of my dad. My dad was a contractor. And so I went to architecture school. And then, of course, you're asking how in the world do you start there and end up where you are? But, I kind of took this path, and it wasn't really till I was in my 40s did I sit down and say, what do I want? Like, what are the skills that I have? And two, a big piece of that is not just what do I want to do as a career, but holistically, what do I want in my life? I want a better relationship with my kids. I want a relationship with my kids. I want to have a relationship with my partner. And those are things, again, it's all work, work, work. We're like, go to school, go get the job, go, go, without that kind of really investigation for what do I desire?
And I think too, what you're saying is that like you're 40 and you flip the script and you're like, okay, I'm gonna make this about what I want to do. And I think this is the thing for me that's tough. I homeschool, and my two oldest kids chose public school in high school. I gave them the option, and they go there, and right away they're just kind of forced into that, like you have to go to college, you have to choose. How in the hell do you know at 18 what you want to do, and you go into this massive amount of debt for something that, like, majority, I mean, I did it. I wasted money on school and I don't use my degree. Okay. So it's one of those things that, like, we're trying to force kids at 18 to get into something. And you're 18 years old. What's the thing you're going to pick? What makes the most money? You know, my son's 16 and that's what he's like, what makes the most money? I'm like, baby, just, I don't know. I changed what I wanted to do so many times. I still don't know. When I grow up, I have no idea who or what I want to be or what I want to be doing. So it's just, I think it's amazing to me. We kind of force so much pressure on babies, really, to like figure it out. So that's where I see like there is resentment there. You're not old enough to have the capacity
No.
to really know. Were there red flags? Is there like a red flag warning we could give to entrepreneurs that are listening right now to see if they're building from urgency instead of alignment?
Yeah, so I think the red flags, maybe the easiest thing is I'm tired, I'm exhausted. That's not changing. Another really good one is, and we hear this all the time, right? How many people just can't wait to get to the weekend and or come back from a vacation and absolutely dread the first day back, right? It's that switch between, it's like this complete separation between, I mean, God bless people that work in a coal mine, but it's that same thing, right? It's their version of that. They may love parts of their job and they may have a passion for it, but if the way that I look at it, when I coach people, I'm like, if you don't experience joy every day, it doesn't mean you love every part of the day, but if you can't honestly say that you experience joy every day, worst case, that you, when was the last time you did experience joy? That's a red flag. I mean, you can literally do anything you want to do if you set your mind to it. We know that. We hear that all the time, and I think though we almost hear it so much that we dismiss it, but it's the truth, right? And we only have ourselves to blame if we don't make a decision to change. That was my problem. So I burned that first business down because I didn't listen to myself. I didn't ask for help. And I pretty much rode it the slow train down into personal bankruptcy, almost lost my marriage, simply because I wasn't willing in that moment to say, huh, okay, I am running this agency, but what are my options? Like, could I work here part time? What, I didn't go through the steps to even explore that. It was kind of like I stuck my head in the sand. And I was like, maybe it'll work out. You know what? It doesn't. It never works out. And it may get a little bit better, but the point is, how long do you want to do that, right? How long do you want to just knuckle through it?
And I think a lot of people choose that because it's kind of that comfort, right? Like it hurts and it sucks, but it's the devil you know. And I think that's the scariest part is like people just can't see that other side of it. And you know, that's the thing with even just my husband, he's a welder, and I can say he does not love his job all the time. He takes pride in it. I mean, he's really good at what he does. And so there's those moments, but yeah, it's 50 hours a week, hot, sweaty, like it's not a great time all the time. And I'm always like, there's options, you know, and it is about like taking that leap of faith, you know, of just that option. But he'll get there. He'll get there when he gets
Yeah,
there. But there's a lot of
for
people
sure.
like that. It is scary, but either way, it kind of sucks. Like the fear sucks, but so does white knuckling everything you're doing right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about it. When I work with people, the idea is project yourself out, right? So kind of, and it's hard, right? When you start to say, okay, what does it look like if I'm in exactly the same place in a year? Ooh, if you really get real about that question, and then you say, okay, well then what's the trade-off if I decide today, on the one end of the spectrum, just to just leave my job and to figure it out? Well, yeah, that's painful. And maybe it takes a few months for you to figure it out, but then look at the other side of it. Like, arguably, you're doing something you enjoy much more, and you're not in the same place. But it's kind of like ripping off the Band-Aid, right? It's like, and it's not just like that because we have experience with that. It's like the unknown. It's the void out there. Well, what if nothing ever comes? Well, something's going to come, right? I mean, I think anybody that has had even, that experience of thinking about that, or even any experience in life, right? Things change. Nothing's permanent, right? It's permanent if we make it. So if we stay in that position, that safe thing, yes, it's making money, but that's at the cost. At very least, if you're single, of you having a joyful life. But if you have a wife and you have children, or if you have a husband and children, the reality is the cost for me was quite literally my relationship with them. I mean, I was doing that at the sake of any meaningful relationship, any growth as a father and as a husband, that kind of just stopped because I always had work. That's the important thing. I'm the provider. Now you can convince yourself, right? This is what I'm supposed to do. That's what my dad did, and that's what his dad did. But there's more than that. There's so much more.
And that's just it. You can still be a provider and not be at a job that's sucking the soul out of your body.
Yeah,
So
for
I love
sure.
that. What is the
Yeah.
difference you see or you kind of call your clients out on when it comes to being busy or being effective?
Busyness is a trap, right? I mean, I think, and I still fall victim to it, right? And I have little reset points, and I know now, and I can feel it. I'm like, oh, I'm choosing to do that thing. So when we, if, and I was just speaking with someone yesterday, and the interesting thing is, and he said this, he said, I said, describe your morning, the perfect morning. And I said, describe your morning now. It's like, well, I get up and I see what is, I see what the day has for me. I'm like, you're starting in a failure point, right? And most of us do that. We roll out of bed, worst case, roll out of bed and pick up our phone, look at the email, look at the text. Well, there are always an unlimited amount of people and things to distract you. And if you, though, take a moment and sit with it and say, is that really that? Where's my time best spent? Right. And then, more importantly, designing your day, at very least saying, these are the three things I want to accomplish today. These are established goals. They're non-negotiables. I have to do these things. Then you can architect your day around that. And yeah, all the things are going to come. But listen, most of the time, unless you're a customer support person and you're mired to that job, then you should decide when you answer those things, not the other way around. Early on with the iPhone, I remember just, we are all loving these things, right? This is great. And then all of a sudden I realized this thing is driving my life. The pings are happening like this. And all I'm doing is, oh, well, I'm important because it says I'm important. And that's the same thing the phone calls and the videos and the texts do. They give us a feeling of I'm busy, I'm important, but in reality, that's just driving us. We're not rowing the boat. We're just going down the river wherever it takes us.
I feel that. I had to delete the apps off my phone because of the
Yeah.
doom scrolling. I'm like, if
Right.
I'm going to post something on Facebook, it's from my computer because
Yep.
that's not convenient. I have to come in
Yeah.
here, open it up, turn it on, log in every single time. I made it a little difficult.
But it's cool. It's a choice, though. I mean, that's when you flip it. Those are powerful platforms, but if you drive them, not them, you. So, yeah, turn all that stuff off. Whatever works. I know people that lock their phone in a safe, right? And
That's
can only
smart.
access it during times of the day. But, and you, you know, the idea would be to work, I would say, work to a point where that's not necessary and you are in control of the phone. But until you do, that practice is there to help, get you on the right course.
I would almost say it's not even our fault. I mean, it was intentionally created to distract you. So there's a
Yeah.
lot of psychology and a lot of studies and a lot of money spent into making sure this thing runs your life. So at some point, though, like we do have to take the responsibility to wake up and kind of separate ourselves from it for sure. So
Yeah.
it's a bittersweet thing, right? It was supposed to be something where we've never been more connected, but we're also like the most separated. It's a very
Right.
bizarre
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
It's wild. But what role did mentors play in helping you see what you couldn't see on your journey?
Probably the biggest time in my life is when I was in between that agency and what I do now. And, I had this moment. It was really before I let's say, figured things out or was on the way. And I had this moment where I was, essentially I'd quit drinking, super helpful. But I was living this kind of mediocre existence. I was, a 40-year-old man playing an hour or two video games a day, doing work, right? Just enough money so the pressure was off, right? So we were starting to kind of claw our way through. And I thought, you know what? And I had just enough kind of consulting business, but I needed a job, or thought I did. And I thought, how easy would it be just to, go work? I'd worked for basically 30, 40 clients at a time, right? And every day was super energizing and everything. But I thought, man, what if I went to work for like Evernote or, some software company and had this one product? I was like, I could crush that. That I could do that in my sleep. And I was discussing this with a mentor, and he said, Dylan, you will not be happy doing that. I don't know if you see this in yourself, but you are an entrepreneur. You always have been. Every meeting I've ever been in you know how to run with the ball. You understand communication, all these things. And it was helpful to hear that reflected. I needed that little boost, but it was also helpful as a course correction. And I'm a big fan of mentors, coaches, having someone, it's difficult sometimes with our partners, I think, because there's just a natural, we partners, some, I do the same thing. I want to fix instead of listen too much and just be that reflective. And so it's really helpful to have kind of someone who's not kind of entwined with you that can kind of look and say and tell you the hard thing, and really redirect you.
Everybody needs someone that's going to tell them the truth.
Yeah.
Everyone, without, being hurtful. The person
Sure.
that doesn't benefit from whatever your choice is going to be, I think those people or isn't hurt by your choices. I think just having someone
Yeah.
who's non-biased is great. Dylan, tell me what does a human first company actually look like today?
So of course AI is here. I love it. We all love it, and I think that there's a lot of positive things. But what one of the biggest detriments, I think, is the belief, and I do not believe that AI can run the business, that can have client contact, customer contact, patient contact. And so the reason why we really hung our hat on this human first is it's really where we started. AI has only kind of accentuated the fact that with more and more automation happening, I see a lot more frustration. And one of the analogies I use is, telephone call trees have been around for, I don't know, 20 or 30 years. I bet there's not one person listening right now that calls their, cell phone provider or power company or whoever and enjoys or gets a good result from that call tree. So that's an example of decades worth of automation that simply doesn't work. What would work? Simply let a human being answer the phone, and I bet the things get solved a lot faster. And so for us, it's the same thing. We leverage AI and automated systems a lot, but never in front of our customers. So even we have no bots that are running, we have no chats that are running bots. We do use lots of it though to help us be better as humans at our job. That's the irony, right? I mean, it's really interesting, and it can be leveraged as such. So it can help with a lot of context and a lot of data. It can help to diagnose issues. But again, never putting it in front. And our customers really appreciate that, because when they pick up the phone or send in an email, they get a WordPress expert human being that responds. And there's a level of like AI is super smart, but in my opinion, right now, I've yet to see even a case where I'm having a dialogue and it understands, the inflection in my voice, obviously, and it's reading text, or it can't understand. And it's almost a binary kind of communication. If I don't give it enough information, it can't respond. Well, in a one-to-one, conversation with a customer, you can work through that much faster. And so that's, we really will never change that. And I think that I don't see that changing really forever. I mean, the reality is it's human beings don't want to talk to computers. They want to talk to humans. And if we separate like that, I mean, it's your example of social media, right? I mean, it's like we continue to separate, and then we're all just living in little pods, never talking to another human being. No one wants that.
No. And I think people are already kind of exhausted with some of, just the AI culture because it isn't. Some people, yes, absolutely. I utilize it for my business because we're going to have this great conversation. AI is going to summarize my Zoom notes, and I'm not going to have to spend 30 minutes trying to type up, an episode bio, right? So, but AI cannot duplicate our conversation. Like, it can't be here for the live episode. It's not going to hear the nuances, and it just can't. And I think people are already exhausted of that, which is why I think podcasting is by far just phenomenal because people are going to be desperate for that human connection. And I don't care how much I used to say I hate people, right? Like, that was my whole thing. Like, I hate people. I hate everybody equally. I just hate people. No, I love it. I love people, and deep down, we're all hardwired for that connection. That's what we came here for, the human experience, which means we have to interact. So I love that. You work with systems. I have one of those demand avoidance brains. So I was always like, I avoided them like the plague because I'm like, you're not going to put me in a box. You cannot tie me up. You can't put my hands behind my back and restrict me. Explain the truth. It took me a long time to get there about how systems can create freedom instead of restriction.
Yeah, I mean, I think to be honest, right? This is why AI flourishes because I mean, we are all pattern driven. And so if you so and this speaks to the personal side of my world as well as the business side, you analyzing the patterns and understanding how you respond, when you respond, the frequency that you respond, you analyzing just your behaviors. And again, works both personal and work side of the business side of life. The reality is by you being able to look at those and understand even a little bit about them, then you can build systems to help support you and know when they don't belong. So that's the important thing. But I mean, it's no different than most of us, don't send mail anymore. We use email or we use a note taker or we simply keep things in a to-do item. I mean, those are systems too. So it's, but you can expand on those to really aid you to fill in the places where you're not so good. I mean, you used a great example. I do too. I record literally every meeting. I spent 10 years in an agency where I took all the notes until we could thankfully afford, account people and they took the notes. Though today, I know when something's recorded and I know every single thing that happened in that meeting. I know what I said, I know what they said, deliverables are tight. And more importantly, it's like what that can help you build in your information and how you can further, you're deep in that connection with that person is much better because you can, I can sit here and we can talk like this, right? If we're having a meeting, and then I don't have to at once, divert my attention to making a note and then not hear what you're saying. So, all in all, I think it's really important to look for where those systems work in your life and where they don't.
I very much agree with that. What is something else you think that business owners really overcomplicate that should be simple?
I mean, I think one of the biggest things is choosing to do too much, right? I mean, I think it's especially entrepreneurs, and I get it, right? We're bootstrapping something and I'm going to do everything, but defining how long we're going to do everything, looking for opportunities. And now more than ever, there are low-cost solutions that really work for lots of things. And I think they're too often, I mean, we see this in the Sunny HQ side of the business where customers come to us and they almost can't believe that for $200 a month, we can do what they've spent, 10 hours a month for the last year. They can't really figure it out. And I have to explain to them, it's kind of like this, right? You own a car. Do you change the oil? I mean, 95% of people out there don't do that. I mean, anybody could learn how to do that. It's not really hard. It's a really dirty job and you got to have all the things. But at the end of the day, it's like you can also pay someone $90 to do it. So, a lot of times we overextend because, and then to the other side of one side's money, but another side is maybe a little ego driven. I'm the only one that can do this. That's a super trap, right? I mean, I look for in my business, planned obsolescence. Like, how can I work myself out of a job? Because then I know I'm looking for people better and smarter than me. That can do, maybe they can't do everything I do, but they do 50%. Then that guy does another 50%. But the point is, looking for a real avenue where you're trying to back out of it, and lead it instead of run every single aspect of it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You're writing, or you wrote The Seven Mirrors. It's completed.
It is.
What
It's all,
inspired that?
yeah. You know, a number of things. I thought about writing a book for a long time and really didn't, couldn't shape what I thought. You know, no one really knows me. And so, you know, I thought, who in the world's going to want to read a collection of my stories? And I spent the past 5 years, I moved with my family outside the country, first in Costa Rica, now Mexico, and honestly spent a lot of time in plant medicine ceremonies, learning about myself in a deeper way and hearing constantly things in those circles, not necessarily in the medicine, but in those circles, and really believe there are so many beautiful things that the larger side of the world should hear. And that was just kind of a little seed. Flash forward a little bit. I was actually encouraged by a mentor of mine that to use my voice. I mean, he said point blank, he said, you know, you're 55. That's considered in the Toltec tradition, which is a Mesoamerican indigenous group. You know, that at that age, I'm considered an abuelo, which is, of course, translates to grandfather, not a grandfather, but and I didn't really want to accept that honor. But when he explained it, he said, you have a duty at this age to teach. You know, no matter what, we've all learned something to this point. And you've been through these stages of life and you have a duty to teach. And honestly, I couldn't think of anything else. And it was, my head was kind of spinning. And so I just started to write. And in the beginning, for me, it started off as just some stories, and then I started to notice a pattern come through of really how I, you know, a big, I guess one of the big stories obviously is that crash and burn, and then how I rebounded from that. And it wasn't, this wasn't a TV story, right? This wasn't something where it's like one day was like, oh, and the next day it was like, yay. And you know, it was a 10-year period of investigation, understanding, and so when I saw that pattern emerge in this idea of, you know, the reflections that we have in life, you know, you're a reflection of me, the things that I see of myself in you, and whether those things I don't like or do like, and then what I can do with that information. And so it's really just a self-lived understanding of you know, who I am and how I got to here today, and I really hope that people will read it and be able to make, you know, some connections to their own lives. Because I think as I've talked to many people now in the past year about it, it's interesting where I thought, like, we all think we're special and we're, you know, we're the only person that's dealt with this. It's the story is just, you said it earlier, you know, the story is out there everywhere. People are like, oh man, that's not exactly me, but I've dealt with that same thing. And
Relate.
so, yeah.
I love that. And I also love how you just kind of toned down because you said it was like the investigation and the experience. That's what we call here 10 years of being in the arena and getting your ass kicked. Like that's kind of like
Yeah.
how we present that. It is real life and it's not always pretty, but it's worth it at the end of it. And I think that's the biggest part that I really want people to take away from the show, because we do have a lot of arena talk here. We do have a lot of like, yeah, I failed. But that's the whole
Yeah.
point. Like, if you're not failing, you're not trying, and you're stagnant. So I think this book sounds amazing. We are coming up on our time. So first of all,
Yeah.
what would you say to someone listening who feels trapped by that thing they worked so hard to build?
Well, I mean, I think the first is if you can't answer those questions yourself, bar none, talk to someone. There's definitely someone that cares about you enough for you to open the doorway. Because first, you know, the big thing is first to admit it, you know, to say it out loud. And you don't have to do anything about it. But the power of one of the things I've learned, if you know, probably the strongest thing in the past few years, is the power of being in the presence of at least one other person, better yet, if there's 10 people, and you expressing yourself with no judgment and simply with people listening, not fixing. The power of you hearing yourself in that environment, admit something, even if it's, I'm not happy, you know, and start there. You know, best case, work through that. There's tons of books, obviously, in the world. It's where I started with books like Thich Nhat Hanh, Beautiful Vietnamese Monk, and Peace is Every Step. But the idea is just agree to reach for help.
I love that. What is your call to action for the audience today?
Yeah, I think well, it's a couple different things. I think if anyone out there, and we've been all over the place, is interested in what we can do for you on the WordPress hosting side, you can go to sunnyhq.io/podcast. There's a great free giveaway PDF that'll help you just work on your own and help you learn more about your website. And then if anyone's interested in my book or just learning more about me, just go to dylanbost.com.
I love that. And the book is available on either of those, or where are they going
It
for that?
will the Right now you can sign up for the first chapter of the book. I'll be sending that out in about 3 weeks, and then we're in the publishing process right now, so that'll be sometime, it looks like late summer, early fall.
Okay, perfect. So
Yeah.
that's awesome. Dylan, this is the part of the show where I'm going to tell you what I think makes you special. It
No,
isn't the
thanks.
websites, it's not the hosting, it's not even the systems, which they're brilliant. But it's really what makes you special is that you've had the courage to ask the questions and to call out and question success itself. A lot of people will spend their entire lives climbing the ladder just to discover it's leaning against the wrong wall. And you were willing to stop, you're willing to pay attention. And instead of building bigger, you started building better, putting your family as the centerpiece and focusing on you and what your calling is. I think that's beautiful. You realize clarity is so much more important than that complexity. Alignment is always going to beat the hustle, and that people will always matter more than the process. I think that's powerful. I think it makes you special, and I think your impact is going to be phenomenal. To everyone listening, take a look at what you're building. Not just your business, look at your life and ask yourself if this is creating freedom or are you caging yourself? Because success without peace is very, very expensive, and achievement without the alignment is exhausting. God gave you the gifts for a reason, not just to build something impressive, but to build something meaningful. So please be radically honest with yourself, be courageous, be intentional, and remember that your mess is your message. Even the burnout, even the burn downs, and even the pivots and the moments where you realize what wasn't working, those moments can be the exact thing that launches you and propels you toward what matters most. If this episode speaks to you, please share it out. Let's get Dylan's book in the hands of the people who need it. You guys are ready for the hot seat. I dare you to come tell me why you're special. Dylan, thank you so much. This was such a great conversation. I appreciate the work you're doing.
Thank you so much.